Daniel 10 today, as our journey continues through one of the great passages of Bible prophecy. Reading the last half of Daniel is like climbing to the mountain peaks of time itself, with a far and distant view, or something like that. I tried really hard to come up with an analogy that captures how amazing this is. But I'm only human, and I can only hope that you are as awestruck as I am as we travel through. Now, chapter 10 isn't really a prophecy so much as the story of how Daniel received the phenomenal prophecies of 11 and 12. The year is 536 BC. Cyrus is king of Persia, and Daniel begins his story in verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So 3 long weeks of seeking God and no response. Why not give up? If God's not going to answer, he's not going to answer, right? But hold on. When it comes to prayer, there is more going on between heaven and earth than we realize. And notice Daniel's fast here. He ate no choice food. He has a job for a worldly king, and eating no food would affect his work. So he goes with basic meals. The heart of the fast is humility, not some superhuman ability to not eat. And God responds to genuine humility. So what happens? Verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Who is he? What is he? No name, no explanation, just awesome. Nothing like this was recorded before this, though something a lot like it is recorded later in Revelation. But first, get a sense of Daniel's shock. Verse 7. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Okay, Daniel is out cold. So while Daniel sleeps, let's figure out who this is. A man dressed in linen, belt of gold, face like lightning, eyes of fire. What in the world? Well, first off, there's some mystery here, and that's good. Daniel doesn't know. However, 5 centuries later in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John has a vision, nearly identical to Daniel's. A man dressed in linen, sash of gold, face like lightning, eyes like fire, legs like bronze. John's vision is Jesus in awesome glory. The linen are the garments of a priest, because Jesus is the high priest. He connects us to God. The gold represents authority and purity. The face of lightning, because the Son of God is the light of the world. The eyes of fire, purifying. Arms and legs of burnished bronze, judgment. Voice like a multitude. When the Son of God speaks, it's awesome. So if it is Jesus, why does he show up here? Well, I think the same reason that he appears at the opening of Revelation, because the prophecy ahead has a lot of detail, and you can easily get lost in the weeds. So from the beginning, it's important to establish it's all about Jesus. So that's my take. Honestly, scholars argue over who this is and what it all means. So I think we should take a cue from Daniel and be humble and a little awestruck here. Speaking of Daniel, time to wake him up. A hand touches him, and he's up, trembling. Verse 11, he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up. Now, I think that this is someone new, and this guy says that Daniel is highly esteemed. Wow, what does it take to be esteemed in heaven? Isaiah tells us that God esteems the humble and contrite in spirit, the one who trembles at his word. What makes Daniel great is that he knows he isn't great. Watch the angel's words. since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. That's what God responds to. Set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God. Don't set out to be smarter than everyone. God's wisdom is humble, and the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So the angel was sent in response, but there's a story here. In verse 13, he says, "The prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. That Prince of Persia is not a video game and not Jake Gyllenhaal. This is apparently the title of a demon whose assignment was Persia, trying to stop the angel's message. He goes on, "Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." Angels and demons, spiritual tag team battle, all because Daniel prayed. This is a rare glimpse into spiritual battle. This stuff is fascinating. But be careful. We get this small glimpse into the spiritual realm. God wants us aware of it, not obsessed with it. Angels and demons are real, and we need our full spiritual armor to step into spiritual battle. Yet keep that in balance. Jude warns against those that heap abuse on celestial beings and slander whatever they do not understand. We get a glimpse here. We see that the angels and demons have hierarchies, and that spiritual battles are connected with national powers and wars, and with prayer. But the glimpse is small, and that's God's choice. So be careful about going beyond what is written. Trust God with the unknown, and don't get caught up in unbiblical ideas about angels or demons. Again, humility is key. Okay, back to verse 14. "Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." Pay attention. The vision is about the Jews, and it's about the future. We'll come back to that tomorrow. For now, Daniel goes speechless, but one who looks like a man touches his lips, and he can speak. "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" I love this interchange. You can feel the weight of Daniel's burden. He can't handle this, but with God's strength, he is renewed. And God wants him to be strong. And the angel explains that he must return to battle. But in verse 21, "First I will tell you what is written in the book of truth." The next two chapters are phenomenal, and they come from what is written in the book of truth. What is that? Several passages in the Bible refer to the books in heaven. At the White Throne Judgment, the books are opened. Believers have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, God doesn't give us details on his books. So we can theorize, but be careful of anyone who claims to know more about this stuff than what God reveals in the Bible. The key here is that God deals in truth, not conjecture, not conspiracy theories. Truth. So let's focus there. Read chapter 10, and I'll meet you back here for a closer look at truth tomorrow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.